Hello, most precious saints of God. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries on this very cold evening. And I'm so happy that you have tuned in your nice warm place and on time for the news portion of our program. Just a quick update on Egypt, because we haven't talked about that in a while, whose military has done a pretty good job at ridding its country of the now officially designated terrorist group called the Muslim Brotherhood. But still, they're working on getting all of them out of the region, which is especially difficult because of its offshoot and support system called Hamas on Egypt's northern border in the Gaza Strip in Israel. But talk has it that Israel is assisting in that endeavor. Isn't that awesome? They're working together. General El-Sisi, and that's the name of the general of the military for Egypt, is doing so well, he believes he will run for president in the very near future. However, another problem still remains for Egypt, and that is the Sinai Peninsula. It is swarming with Al-Qaeda and Salafists, and they are often in the league with the Muslim Brotherhood, kind of undercover. And as well, there is a dispute down south for Egypt with Ethiopia over their Renaissance Dam in the Nile River, of which Egypt draws one-fourth of their water supply. So the general hopes this dispute can be resolved peacefully. If not, he may consider going to war for control of the river sources. Now, here's just a little trivia for you, for those who might have forgotten and for those of you who care. The Nile actually has two tributaries originating way down south that join together up north in the Sudan and then continues through Egypt and then empties in the Mediterranean. Now, the wider tributary called the Blue Nile begins from Lake Tana in Ethiopia, way down there. And that, of course, is where the dam is. Now, the other, not as productive, tributary is named the White Nile, which originates in Central Africa. And both join together in the Sudan, which is between Egypt and Ethiopia. So there you got a little history there, geography and all that stuff. Anyway, let's talk about Israel. Since the, I'd say the fall of last year, give or take a month, kind of coinciding with the startup of the new peace talks, terrorist attacks have actually increased heavily in Judea and Samaria. The secularists call it the West Bank. You might be more familiar with that. Many of the injuries were caused by actually lobbed rocks or firebombs. Also from the Gaza, rocket missiles have increased as well. It's doubtful to most that any peace agreement will be made until someone really special steps in to help. Oh, I have an idea. What about Pope Francis, who just happens to be visiting there the month after the Blood Moon? I wonder if he can help. Could there be a connection to a timely visit? And did you hear what happened after the Pope prayed a prayer for peace on Sunday from the Vatican's famous window? He let two children let go of two white peace doves that were immediately attacked by a seagull and a large black crow. I'm going to let you come to your own conclusions about that. Also, Sunday was the Grammy Awards, where I read, and of course I wouldn't watch, but I read that they were highly satanic and immoral, with gay marriages actually taking place in the aisles. But kudos to Christian singer Natalie Grant, who even, though nominated, which is why she went, just had to leave early due to the evil that she felt all around her. Hopefully, she left before Katy Perry's very dark witch performance, where she wore a very large red-lighted Knights of Templar cross on her chest. These ruthless warriors and First International banksters called the Knights Templar were actually disbanded about 700 years ago but I'm told actually just went undercover and infiltrated Freemasonry and then the Jesuit order. I have had plans to teach about this and other secret organizations beginning in a few weeks. So when I saw that she wore the Templar cross, it was like giving me confirmation. Because honestly, many won't even believe the master deception that's going on right under our noses. Anyhow, let me leave the news portion tonight with a very pleasant quote from Natalie Grant. She says, "We left the Grammys early. I've many thoughts about the show tonight, most of which are probably better left inside my head. But I will say this. I've never been more honored to sing about Jesus and for Jesus. And I've never been more sure of the path I've chosen." Amen, sister. And we here at Shofar Ministries will help you out there as well not to conform to the world's way and to stay focused on His plan for your life, to stir you up, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the real gospel. So please, keep us in your prayers that we can remain on the air, and donations are needed to do that. Now, don't move that dial or your mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues, in spite of my cold, right now.
Shalom, Chavarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, and we're really glad you decided to join us tonight as we finish up the teaching on the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and we look into the final phase, which is called the One World Religion, before Jesus returns to set up His kingdom. But first, as always, we want to ask God to be with us and thank Him too, and have Him bestow His wisdom on us as we serve Him tonight. Avinu Shebaash Shemayim, our Father who's in heaven, we want to lift up to you tonight, very specially, special people, Catholics, who may be questioning their religion tonight. Lord, we lift them up to you. You have your people everywhere, and there's tons of Catholics that know you personally. Lord, we just want you to continue to soften the soil of their hearts and then pull down that stronghold of pride that they have, and that so they can see for themselves, you know, the many wrongs and fallacies that come out of this church, and they see it and they stop sharing in her sins. Also, we lift up those personal prayer requests that we've recently had come in, and all the ones we've had come in this month. And we pray for all those who are tuned in right now who may have a prayer request. We lift those up to you, Lord. May you be mindful of the specific needs, and most importantly, speak to the hearts of their unsaved loved ones and open their eyes to see your outstretched arm that was outstretched on the cross of salvation. We thank you and ask you to continue to provide the funds for this program to remain on the air, because we do speak the truth and we do trust you in everything, and in the name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen. And shalom to you as well, John. I want to remind the people that the lines are always open for your end-time questions. 888-677-WORD, 888-677-WORD.
And remember, if you missed any previous shows, you can go to shofarministries.net, where they are all archived. Right? So, Sheila, we have been studying the seven letters to the seven churches, a great study, by the way, and we've really not been in a big hurry, which is probably why we're still looking at them tonight. But we are at the last one.
Yes.
The church that came in last as a slow progression, but is now here in full force today with us, right?
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah, so we've looked at six of the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
We did emphasize Pergamos because that's really where paganism took a foothold, and then it flourished in Thyatira, which, as we pointed out, is still here today as the Roman Catholic Church.
And as we have said, the world is getting ready for the one world church again.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
which is why the ecumenical movement is pushing hard these days, even saying that you can join even if you are an atheist. Because if you're a good person, you have God in your heart and you just don't even know it.
And Pope Francis actually said that.
He did.
Yep.
Now, it is actually so remarkable to see what once was an establishment of only the Catholic Church can save you, to now they say all religions and even non-believers, if they are good people, can go to heaven. With the Pope as the head of this one world church, of course. And there is hardly any outcry from Catholics about this, which proves I don't think they read their Bible. Or at least have a clear understanding of all of it. Maybe they just take bits and pieces, you know. And those who do, they're actually leaving. And then they join the Church of Philadelphia, which is us. And we discussed that last week, didn't we?
We sure did.
Well, we started off a few weeks ago with Ephesus. That was the first church. That was the church like 33 to about 100 A.D. Mm-hmm. They started out gung-ho. And unfortunately, though, they did kind of lose their first love. But still in all, that was the beginning of the church age, mm-hmm. prophetically speaking.
Yes, we are doing the prophetic application
yes.
of the seven churches.
We are.
There are many other applications, but we are
right.
focusing on the prophetic ones.
And then about 100 A.D. to about 300 was the Church of Smyrna. They were actually persecuted, killed, martyred for about 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that. And then all of a sudden, Church of Pergamos came along with Constantine, and he made the empire Christian, and he let paganism come in
yeah.
as well.
I remember it, the word mixed marriage.
That's right. Thank you. And again, that was just the beginning of the full-blown Church of Thyatira, when they instituted the Mass and started crucifying Jesus every single time they had a Mass, and that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about that, and we'll probably hit that again next month
yeah.
when we talk about other things.
anyway,
then there was some that finally were starting to read the Word because they could get it,
mm-hmm.
and they broke away from the One World Church at that time, and it was the Church of Sardis,
mm-hmm.
which actually means remnant. So they broke away and started the Reformation and Protestantism.
Yes.
And unfortunately, though, that Jesus did say in the Church of Sardis that he was unhappy with them because they lacked the Holy Spirit, really, is what they said. He said they were a dead church.
Hmm.
And he said that they weren't really looking forward to the return of Christ.
Hmm.
And they're still not. This is mainline Protestantism. And they don't have the Holy Spirit that I've seen. There are
mm-hmm.
sure some exceptions, but as a whole.
There always are, but
yeah.
as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And they certainly don't teach prophecy or look for his return at any moment.
No, they don't. They don't.
So.
I'm not saying they're bad people or anything, but that's just where they're at.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, but anyway, then there's another breakaway from the Church of Sardis.
There sure was.
And that, of course, is the Church of Philadelphia, which we talked about last week. And that was the Holy Spirit revival time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about John Wesley's, the George Whitfields, and around this time is when they came to America and they birthed the missionaries, and talks about the Key of David, who opens and no one shuts and no one opens, blah, 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 you know, back and forth. And
mm-hmm.
it's also the birth of revival, like in China, Japan, Korea, Africa, Russia, all through the world, actually.
Right.
And we're talking about the 1700s. Then you can add Finney to that, D.L. Moody, William Carey. So it's a great church to be in.
Yes, it is.
And
you can
add
the Messianic churches here.
And the Messianic churches,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Philadelphia means
saved.
Yes, they are. And Philadelphia means brotherly love.
It does. And it's this church that is promised an escape from the tribulation that's coming.
Yes.
So.
Gee, funny how that all works out. Like
isn't
that
it funny how it works out?
Yeah.
But then there's this one last church that we didn't get to last week,
mm-hmm.
and this is actually the last days church of comfort and, well, it's called Laodicea, which means the people make the rules.
That's what we're focusing on tonight.
Ruled by the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I nobody's really sure when that started, but I had a guess, and I'm thinking around 1950.
Hmm.
I don't know. It could have been maybe 60. I don't know. But now we've got these huge, rich churches,
yeah.
don't we?
Oh, they are rich, yes. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was a literal church in the area of Turkey today. and it's a city named, it was a city named after the wife of Antiochus II.
Interesting.
And her name was Laodice.
Wow.
And, of course, that means gossip.
That means gossip.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa. Well, so would you like me to read that passage?
I think that'd be a good idea right now. Why don't you read that church?
Okay.
Of Laodicea.
The seventh and final letter to this church, to the churches. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Okay, basically it's a lukewarm church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting because that's what everybody kind of wants to be these days. You know, do their hobbies, have their, you know, luncheons and their other things going, but just be lukewarm.
And pencil God into the schedule somewhere there. And
well, they don't even have, no. It's if they have spare time.
Mm.
No penciling in. That would be a good thing.
Oh, that would be a good thing.
Yeah, right. But I'm thinking that, excuse me.
Did you say they were Cinos?
Oh, yeah.
C-I-N-O's? Christians in name only, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. In fact, there's a scripture in Matthew 7:21 that describe head knowledge only Christians. But maybe you should just read that.
Okay. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
And that's the key word, lawlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Because these people were not are not out robbing banks.
No.
So I believe lawlessness means Biblelessness.
I do as well.
Law is a synonym for Torah, meaning instruction from God. That's the Bible. I just don't think they're in the Word.
I don't think they are.
There's something else we can see from here, too, and I just want to mention that these people at the last day, when they're being judged, they'll say, well, wait a minute, I did all this thing in your name.
Yes.
And I think it's important to mention that because that confused me for a long time. How could they be doing things in his name if they weren't Christians and had knowledge only?
Oh, you mean like casting out demons and things?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe now I realize, because for a lot of reasons, but just using his name can cast out demons. And I've seen it happen.
Yeah, it's the name.
Yeah.
Not particularly who is using the name, but if they're using it correctly.
It's the name.
It's the name.
It's always use the name of Jesus whenever you pray.
Yes. And especially if you feel that there's darkness that's trying to attack you and perhaps make you lose your joy.
Absolutely.
And in the name of Jesus, you could make
anger, fear, all those
types of things. Fear, things like that.
Just say, get out in the name of Jesus and stop oppressing me. And that's it. That's really all I have to say.
Really, you do?
You have to go in the lengthy prayer.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
And then, you know, if you're at work when you say that, you can just stand up and look over your cubicle and tell the person next to you, I wasn't talking to you.
Yeah, right.
But the point is, do it, right?
That is, of course. Anyhow, Laodicea was a city of great wealth. I guess you could sort of say it was like a Las Vegas vacation town. You know?
I can imagine that.
And the main industry, though, was financial banking and clothing. Therefore, the black wool is part of that.
I see.
And it had a great medical school famous for its eye salve. Actually, mostly ophthalmologists, specialists practiced there.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, it's so fitting that Jesus would use this analogy, especially for today, where there's so many eyes really blurred to the real truth, aren't there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called deception.
It is.
And it's big.
It is big. It's huge. But it doesn't have to be if you're listening to this program tonight.
Oh, there you go. A little plug in there.
Yeah.
Of course, when you have the most famous religious leader in the world telling you it's okay to be lukewarm because just being a good person will get you to heaven, well, what can you expect?
Yeah, and whose standard do they measure that by anyway?
Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that evangelist Ray Comfort?
Oh, absolutely. He's my hero.
He actually, he's been around for many years.
Yeah, he's hell's best-kept secret.
That's right.
Yeah, no, hell does not want you to find out or listen to this guy.
That's right. But anyway, he would do street evangelism and ask people who thought being a good person gets you into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes through, like, the Ten Commandments with them. And they find out that they actually are guilty and broken all of them.
They actually admit that.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you ask separate, well, have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever lied? Have you ever missed church? Have you ever swore? You know, you got to say yes to all that. So he says, well, you need a Savior, don't you? So your good works isn't much.
Yeah, and of course the Bible doesn't say good works, or does say good works won't save you.
It does, actually.
Yeah, and in fact, Isaiah 64:6, it says our good works to God are just like filthy rags.
Well, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said on last week's program, the book of James does clarify that good works is the evidence of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
But the faith of your salvation must be first.
And then your works, which is judged for your rewards, of course, after we get to heaven.
That's right. It has nothing to do with salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation is a totally free gift.
And don't...
No strings attached.
No strings attached. And don't...
Except
ever,
you might like to get to know them and read your Bible. But that's, you know, that's just getting to know Jesus.
Exactly.
So anyway, apparently the city, Laodicea, was hit with a huge earthquake back in 60 A.D. And it laid in a heap of ruins for quite a while. I guess it was eventually rebuilt. But archaeology shows that Laodicea actually had an aqueduct that carried water from hot mineral springs about 5 miles to the south, which would have become tepid before entering the city. And apparently, I guess, the water was hard as well, though it was drinkable.
Well, the imagery of this Laodicean aqueduct suggests that both hot or cold water are useful, which they are, of course.
Yeah.
Whereas lukewarm water is useless.
Maybe unless you want to take a bath.
Well, not even in that, because it's...
Not that bath. It's probably got bacteria that's growing in it.
Well, bacteria loves, as well as yeast, loves lukewarm water.
That's right.
If you know, if you make bread, you know that.
Oh, that's right. And I don't, but I know you do. So, as we see, also in verse 16, that Jesus says that he's on the outside knocking to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says nothing good about them.
Yeah, there are no commendations in this letter.
Mm-mm. In fact, he tells them how to get saved, because obviously most weren't.
Mm-hmm. And because they make their own rules to live by.
Right. And you know, today many couples refuse to believe that sex before marriage is a sin, or homosexuality either. You know, we are in the last days church.
Yes.
You know, where it needs nothing.
I know.
And it's noted for its pleasures.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
But we're not. We're in the Philadelphia still.
That's right.
You know, it's funny, though, John, if you ever ask a Christian that you suspect really needs to be in the Word more and to be more on fire.
Yes.
If you ask them, what number are you, if you looked at a scale between 0 and 10, 10 being the hottest for the Lord?
What do they put?
What would you think that they would put?
Well, they probably rate themselves somewhere in the middle, wouldn't they?
Yes, almost everyone does.
Well, that's almost like saying lukewarm.
Well, and then when they say that, I read Revelation 3:15, I think it is, and say, oh, so you're one of those, lukewarm, where he's going to spit you out of his mouth?
Yeah.
And then it goes, boop.
What about
wake-up call?
Wake-up call. Yeah, what about, you know, when you're filling out the old application for a job or something and it asks for religion and you write Christian on that? And
yeah, so many do.
And are you really? Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of them are just worldly and have a head knowledge. So if you're listening today and you're not sure whether you have a heart knowledge or a head knowledge, start over, get it right.
And
and the main thing is, if you are truly saved, you will have a hunger to read His Word.
That's right. And you'll, belonging to a church won't do it.
No.
Your parents won't do it for you.
No, you can't do it that way either, just because you were born into something.
That's right.
It's all a personal thing, one-on-one.
It's all about, this. In this case, it is all about you, and it's all about you and Jesus. Okay?
That's right. I think we're going to take a break and play a wonderful song. In fact, it's my most favorite song that we ever play.
I didn't tell you to say that, really. I
no, you didn't, and it's actually John's single song that the Lord helped him do, and he's never really done another one, but he's not caring about that. The thing about it is the Lord gave it to him, and so we play it.
So we play it.
I was
fortunate enough and blessed enough to be able to record it and it come out really well on just a little handheld recorder. So
what's your name?
It's called Sparrow in the Middle.
All right.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. One of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
All right.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Hey, that was our song, my song.
That's right. We recorded.
Song. It's a good song. It's talking about leaving this earth and not having to, we might be in a generation that won't see death. We might be part of that generation. Very likely.
I'm counting on it.
It's very likely. Very likely. Do you have a question for Sheila? Would you like her to speak at your church or your group? Well, you better get your call in fast because she does book up. So just email her at Sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office 440-834-9006. And please leave a detailed message.
Please leave a detailed message.
Exactly.
Your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the air and are still tax deductible. So if you like this program and if you are being blessed and learning from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor.
Amen to that. Please send your love offering to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. That's Box 513 in Burton, Ohio. Or on our web homepage, there is a Partner With Us button on the left side. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your email or house address.
And newsletters and previous radio shows, once again, are archived on shofarministries.net and recorded teachings as well.
That's right. And the phone lines are open for your comments or questions relating to tonight's topic. Number 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. And remember, the first Friday of every month, we are at Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road, or 306 as we call it, in Chesterland. And we begin with Messianic music right at 7 p.m. and the show and the blast of the shofar, too.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
All right. So I do want to say a few words here. Mm-hmm. As most of our regular listeners know, and I don't know if there might be some new people listening tonight, but God has taken me on a more intense journey since the beginning of last year to study some church history to better help understand Revelation 17 and 18 and certainly Revelation 13 for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still learning because there are volumes on this topic.
Oh, I can vouch for that. I can vouch for that.
So there's no way I'm going to ever learn it all, just so you know. So don't ever think that I'm a 100% expert on it. I'm just going to learn what I can learn, and
mm-hmm.
I'm going to share it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now, 20 years ago when I first taught the book of Revelation, and actually for quite some time after that, whenever we discussed who is Babylon.
Yeah, who's Babylon, we always would say.
I would always let the students talk it through,
mm-hmm.
because there was actually about three possibilities. Do you remember what those were, John? Because I think you... We're in one of those classes.
Yeah, I was, and I've heard it, you know, throughout the years, too. It was, we believe that it was the original Babylon in Iraq would be rebuilt,
mm-hmm.
and the reason, because there is a little literal, you know, aspect and application to interpreting the Bible. And
well,
at that time, Saddam Hussein was really trying to establish Babylon as one of the great seven wonders of the world, was working on it and everything, all that. And I know that didn't happen, but the other choice was us, America. With our wealth, and of course the greed and the sin.
And tolerance for sin.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess that's pretty much everywhere these days.
And then then we were left with Rome,
mm-hmm.
which we kept avoiding for some reason.
Well, yeah, kind of. Well, again, I eliminated America because she's going down pretty fast. And as well, Babylon. But some say the Antichrist will sit. Well, not some say. We know through Scripture that the Antichrist will sit in the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem like a king. But then some believe that he will also also have a throne in Babylon toward the end of the 7 years. Since it was the original area of Nimrod,
yes.
I mean, kind of like goes back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And where the paganism began there, too.
Yes, Nimrod would have been the father of paganism with his wife and
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. And some even think that Adam and Eve actually committed the first sin in Babylon.
Interesting.
Don't know. That would be a guess, but...
Well, however, we have stated 2 weeks ago, Babylon, or Satan's throne, was moved twice.
Yes, actually it was. We, mm-hmm. we talked about that, how it was moved to Pergamus. And then later, Emperor Phocas of Rome made it official in 607 A.D. that now the Bishop of Rome, whose name was Pope Boniface, would rule over all, even Constantinople, which is what the name was changed from Pergamus.
Hmm. So that's where the throne ended up.
Yes, in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
It's there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, like with that said, 20 years ago when I first started Revelation, I just didn't have that drive, that passion to really find out much detail about the Catholic religion that I had left. And after all, I wasn't even sure then who Babylon really was.
Well, probably because it wasn't time for all of this to be uncovered.
I do trust that the Holy Spirit is wise.
It's timing. Like you say, you know, timing is everything.
It is. But anyway, today I do believe that it is Rome, and that means the Pope. And honestly, 20 years ago, I just could not wrap my head around that the church I grew up in could be the harlot of Revelation 17. You know, yesterday your wife Mary and I have, we've discussed this revealing information that I've been finding out lately even. And it actually brought tears to both of us, especially because your wife was Catholic as well.
Former Catholic, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what makes me sad is that the common folk in the Catholic religion today really don't know the extent of what their hierarchy has done and is still doing.
No, they don't.
But in about 2 weeks, we're going to start discussing the Vatican's covert and secret army. I've only merely scratched the surface last year. There's so much more. But we're going to expose this so that others, even if only one person, will see the truth. And if not, I've been obedient to our Lord as uh-huh. well as you.
Yes, and here's what we do. We just present the truth, and the Holy Spirit takes it from there.
Uh-huh. Yes. Again, this is the ruling body I'm talking about mostly. Although I do have to say, my uncle,
mm-hmm.
Who loved God and joined the Catholic seminary as a youth,
mm-hmm.
ended up becoming a homosexual after he joined. And even then, I was still in denial that there was anything sinister going on. But again, I was younger,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
were you even looking for
any
flaws or anything
yeah.
like that?
No, definitely not.
Well, I did find out, too, that someone I know that went to the seminary was very turned off by it and actually quit because of
yeah.
the homosexuality.
The
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But over the last year, I have increased my digging, and I do know it's God who has put this insatiable passion in me to seek more real truth so that I can help others come out of her.
Okay. Yeah. And don't they refer to themselves as the Mother Church?
They do. And it's mm-hmm. interesting because in Revelation 17:5, she's called the Mother of Harlots.
Interesting. Wow.
You know, and the mystery. Mm-hmm. Mystery is always a word for the church because it was a mystery in the Old Testament.
Well, you know, the Catholic people I've talked to, and they're wonderful people, too. They're good
no,
people.
I know.
But, you know.
That's why my heart is breaking.
They insist that they believe in Jesus, too.
I know. But, John, it's a different Jesus. Who did not complete his work on the cross, or they wouldn't have to do penance for their sins, or certainly not spend time in purgatory for them.
Hmm.
You know, it's interesting, in 2 Corinthians 11, we've got Paul talking to the Corinthians, and they were he regarded them as less spiritual Christians, because they were into some things, and he was not happy with them.
The Californians? Oh, no, the Corinthians.
Yeah, really. But I want to read verses like 3 through 5, and it's Paul talking, and he says, "But I fear lest somehow, like the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you just may well put up with it. So he was saying, you know, you're so gullible that you might believe it.
And
some people do just believe what the church tells them.
That's true.
You can't do that.
You can't do that. No.
Because whatever religion it is.
That's true, because, you know, your spiritual destiny is in your hands. And it's a very serious thing. You're really getting excited. You have knocked your water bottle all
knocked
over
my water over my phone.
Okay, but
okay.
Was that holy water or no?
No, it wasn't. Oh, you're too funny.
Okay. Hey, all right. I wanted to read 1 Timothy.
Oh, that would be a good one. Yeah,
chapter 4.
Right? Well, I clean up my water and wipe off my phone.
You do that, and I'll read 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth.
Two things I want to talk about here. First of all, I want to say where it says, in the latter times some will depart.
Mm-hmm.
That word is apostemi, 868, and it actually just means to draw back. You know, not be on fire, just kind of be lukewarm type of thing.
Oh, it doesn't mean to leave the faith.
No,
it just means to draw back. Interesting.
Right.
Okay.
And then, of course, we see that there will come a time when they will forbid to marry. And, of course, that's definitely in the Catholic Church. I don't know where else it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm asking is,
mm-hmm.
is it better to be in sin than allow priests to marry because they can't contain themselves? That's not what Paul said. Paul said if you can't, you should marry.
You should marry, absolutely. And, you know, raising a family is being loyal to God through your family. That's
right.
Kind of a picture to your children.
Right, and unfortunately, from what I've been reading, I believe that it is the Catholic Church's idea that they would be more loyal to the church if they didn't have a family to take care of.
I gotcha. So what about loyalty to God, though, see?
Right, and see, that's the problem. You can be just as loyal raising a family. That's what you're supposed to be doing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, our loyalty belongs to our God. Well, Jesus did do it all, and of course he said so. His last words on the cross, when he was crucified, were, "It is finished."
It is finished.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. The debt for sin has been paid. Honestly, it is heresy to believe Jesus didn't do it all, and deception to think you still have to do penance, good works, and then still go to purgatory when you die and hope others will pray you out or give enough money to the church for them to say masses and novenas to the Blessed Virgin, which is another abomination. You should not be praying to Mary or any other dead person, which is where the idols and statues come in. That's playing the harlot. It is spiritual adultery. I'm going to say it like it is. And Vatican Rome is the mother of harlots.
And that is the truth.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was a man named Dave Hunt.
Didn't you say he was one of your favorite?
I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
I liked him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not my favorite, but I liked him a lot.
Okay.
But he wrote a book in the early 90s. He's since deceased. And it was called The Woman Rides the Beast. I highly still recommend that book because it really summarizes it so clearly of the history of the church. So I recommend it still.
Still a good book.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And again, actually, many are reading it, I've heard.
Oh, that's good. So.
But again, I read the book 20 years ago, and you can see it Actually, they did a video of it, and it's on YouTube.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
But at the time, I put it on the back burner, so to speak,
because
I stayed in this denial about my heritage.
Yeah.
Now I jump ahead 20 years, and along with other whistleblowers that have written their own testimonies, and these are ex-priests and ex-Jesuit priests, and their accounts are amazingly similar to each other, even not even knowing each other. And they live in different parts of the world. And we've got testimonies going as far back as the time of Abraham Lincoln that we're going to be talking about in a few weeks.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that now?
I think I can give it quickly. We have 5 minutes, don't we?
At least.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, let's say in a nutshell. Before Abraham Lincoln was president, he was an attorney, and he actually defended an ex-Jesuit priest named Charles Chiniqui. And actually, he wrote a book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome. Okay?
He was exposing the truth.
Yeah, well, finally, he saw the truth. Actually, after 25 years, he decided to start exposing the truth. Not only did the Jesuits try to kill him, and this is all documented, you can find it, but then they sued him for slander and some other tidbits. Anyhow, lawyers wouldn't touch it, for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But Abraham Lincoln did, and he won the case. And Chiniqui told him straight out, he said, "Abe, you're going to most likely be assassinated for defending me and winning." And he actually had tears in his eyes. And Abraham said, "You should be happy you just won." And he wasn't, because he knew that Abraham would die. And actually, apparently from the writings that I've read, Abraham Lincoln knew it as well. After he found out who actually instigated the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add the slavery issue, which the Catholic Church owns slaves, by the way. And sure enough, a couple years later, it was a Jesuit hired man named Booth, John Wilkes Booth, who was trained by a high level fourth vow Jesuit named John Surratt. Now, it's just interesting that Pope Francis is a high level fourth vow Jesuit. They're about the highest that you can get.
Interesting.
And that's what we're going to be talking about.
Ooh.
So to me, it's no surprise when I heard him say that all good people can go to heaven, even atheists. And actually, that should have been a red flag that went up to every Catholic. Because it cinched it for me. And I believe he will be the head of the one world religion. And actually, there's no doubt.
Wow. I think you really sparked some interest. In me, anyway. I've really been interested in this. And it really shows, obviously, God wants you to be more equipped with this knowledge. And even if it helps only one. And it's helping me understand, too. It's helping me understand the whole end time scenario.
That's right.
And I never go back and forth between those three, America, Babylon, and Rome. Now I know it's Rome. I'm convinced beyond a shadow.
But you know what? People have to do their own homework, and they have to see it for themselves. We have a caller, and we only have a few minutes, but I'm going to take it.
Okay.
And her name is Dawn, and Dawn, you're on the line.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi.
Dawn. I just, let me put it this way. I know so many Catholics, and they are so devoted. And I cry for them.
Yes, me too.
Is there anything that you have, an outline that I can send them or tell them to go to your website?
Yes.
Hey, look at this.
Yes. Actually, all the programs are archived on the webpage. And all my newsletters, which, by the way, I've talked a lot about it, but if you will send me an email and remind me of who you are.
Okay.
And you have email, don't you, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. You email me, and we'll start conversing, and I will help you with this.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's not a problem. I thank you for calling. This is what I live for.
What is your email?
And, well, you don't want to say it over the air.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my, you mean?
Yes.
Of course. It's Sheila@shofarministries.net.
That's all I was asking.
That's pretty funny. I didn't even know what to say there.
Lutheran, and even the Lutheran doctrine, there is some issues. And I am so glad I finally know the truth.
Oh, I
praise God. Praise God.
How long have you known the truth, Dawn?
For about 4 years now.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like every day the Lord keeps putting something else into my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I follow different Christians on the website, and we all work together in bringing out different truths. And, you know, sometimes it's stomach-wrenching, you know?
Yes.
But I'd rather have that, even though it's dark and stomach-wrenching at the first point of the revealing the truth, I'd rather know the truth.
Oh, yeah.
It draws me more near and more closer to the Lord.
Absolutely.
And so, anyways, this is a blessing, Sheila. Yeah, definitely.
All right, sweetie. I'm so thankful that you called. Give me an email. Gotta run, okay?
Hey, thank you, Sheila. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, is Jesus Lord over your whole life? Remember, church membership can't get you into heaven. What you have to do is just get on your knees and ask Him to be your Savior. Right
now.
Right now, right. And then go, okay, we're gonna have to go. We're kind of running late, but I want to leave with the Aaronic blessing. Yevrechacha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panah v'lecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panah v'lecha, v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Remember, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month in Chesterland at 7 p.m. at Chester Christian Center.
And be sure to join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. And until then, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper. And that's not a maybe.
That's not a maybe. We always say that. And that's Psalm 122:6.
Right.
God bless. See you next week.
Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word.